Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Tucson's intelligent voice. I am Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, June 21st, 2013. It's the first official day of summer, but of course it has been summer-like in Tucson for many weeks. In fact, we're on track this June to be the warmest June on record in the old Pueblo. We are live noon to one each weekday. We are streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com, and we podcast the program, make it very easy for you to hear the program anywhere in the world, really. BuckmasterShow.com, TucsonCitizen.com, and TucsonSentinel.com all have our program available for you. Our Friday Focus interview today with Dr. Mark Stegeman, member of the TUSD Governing Board. Joining me to question Dr. Stegeman, Linda Valdez is with me in studio. Linda, columnist and one of the editorial writers for the Arizona Republic, and Mark Evans, administrator for the Gannett Corporation-owned TucsonCitizen.com, which is a community of bloggers, of which this show, the Buckmaster Show, is proud to be one of the contributors. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Mark Stegeman, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also put a question up on our Facebook page, and we encourage you to follow us on Facebook. Real easy to find us there. It's under my name, Bill Buckmaster. Let's join now Dr. Mark Stegeman. Dr. Stegeman, how are you?
Fine. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, it's good to have you on the show, and I have Linda Valdez with me, and Mark Evans is here as well. We'll be asking you questions. Of course, the first question, the TUSD Governing Board, you and your colleagues voting 4-1 this week to name a 38-year-old gentleman named H.T. Sanchez as superintendent of TUSD. Mr. Sanchez now is the interim superintendent of a school district in Odessa, Texas. Why did you vote no on that, Dr. Stegeman?
I don't want to dwell on that too much at this point because they did vote yes, and I think then we need to move on and support him. But I had concerns, as did many people, about his lack of track record. He's been an interim superintendent there just several months. It's a smaller district. It's a district that is in many ways different from TUSD. And he has made a lot of job moves, including lateral moves. He was principal at a lot of different places in a lot of different districts. So I think it's he doesn't have a track record that makes it clear he'll be successful at TUSD. But he also has fans back in Ector County, and we need to do all we can to help him and give him a chance.
Well, he may not be the superintendent, according to published reports in the Odessa. I think the paper is called The American, as I recall, their local paper in Odessa. Mm-hmm. And the Tucson Weekly also reporting that Mr. Sanchez is currently in negotiations right now about a salary, becoming the permanent school superintendent there in Ector County. So what is your reaction to that?
Well, I've heard that, and I've been talking with a lot of people in Texas over the last week or so trying to get informed going into that vote. And so I've heard all of that, and it was speculated from the beginning that something like this might develop. He was, I think, the choice of the majority of his board before their May elections, and then a couple of his supporters lost their seats, and then it was unclear how much support he had on the board to become the permanent superintendent. But since then, a couple of their board members have come out in favor of him, and so it's hard to tell from Tucson exactly what's going on, but certainly there are questions, I think, both over there and over here.
Here is Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic.
Hi, Dr. Stegeman. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Now, I think the burning question in my mind is why one finalist? How could the board possibly justify bringing one person as a finalist for such an important post?
As you probably know, I disagreed with that decision. And so, in some sense, I'm the wrong person to ask.
And well, you're the one who's here.
That's true. But the other problem is that the discussion leading into that vote occurred in executive session, and I can't legally disclose. Actually, I'd like to talk about it, but I think it'd be interesting, and it would help people understand, not necessarily agree, but understand what happened. But since that is legally protected discussion, all I
can say is... Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rally. Everybody who's anybody...
Go ahead again. We had a little technical difficulty. Finish your thought,
Mark. I didn't know if you would hit the bleep there if I was getting into danger.
No, one of the commercials came up a little bit too early. So go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was just saying I can't. None of the board members can really discuss that because that discussion occurred in the executive session. But I certainly disagreed with it, and not because the community gets to vote on it, but because the input from the cabinet and from the rest of the community is very valuable to the board. And I think we can learn lots of that input. In fact, I did learn stuff from that input, and people pointed things out that I hadn't thought of. So I think going out and having that process helps the board itself make its final decision. I'm sorry we didn't do that with more candidates.
Okay, here's Mark Evans now of TucsonCitizen.com.
Hello, Professor Stegman. How are you?
Hey, Mark.
I think we've already asked you how you're doing twice now, so you don't have to answer
this
that.
This would be the third time we've been.
What? Fine. And Bill said it's been a hot week in Tucson, and it's been a hot week in the district, too.
Yeah.
Why is the district violating the state's open records law and refusing to release the names of the other three finalists that were interviewed by the board?
Well, you know that's very hard for me to answer in any way that is consistent with my fiduciary responsibility. So I better stay out of trouble and not answer that. I mean, the issue obviously is that there's some precedent, which I think concerning the U of A, a previous lawsuit involving U of A, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that makes it unclear whether that's an open record. And I think without consulting counsel, I should stop there.
I think it was actually ASU, right?
Right, it was Arizona.
It was ASU, I'm sorry.
Board of Regents decision, 1990.
Phoenix Publishing versus Arizona Board of Regents. And this
let me say from a policy viewpoint, I think it's good up to some point to protect confidentiality of candidates because some people just wouldn't step forward if they knew that their name would be out there and circulating. So I think up to a point, regardless of the legal issue, it makes sense to have some confidentiality. But then, of course, where does that point stop?
And the Supreme Court decided that factor. It made it so that it was unambiguous for school districts or for anybody who's a public government who's hiring somebody. When you come down to finalists, you have to release those names. There's no ambiguity about it. You've got your district lawyers who are splitting hairs and saying, well, only this one candidate was seriously considered. Well, that would lead us to believe that these other candidates, the other 50 so who applied, were given some sort of perfunctory review, or you pulled the names out of a hat, which clearly isn't true. It's just troubling to me that you're going to lose this lawsuit, and you're going to end up paying a lot of money to the Arizona Daily Star when it's totally unnecessary. And I would think that as a board member, you would be concerned about that and want to put a stop to it.
Well, Mark, as you can understand, I'm in sort of a stuck place here. I wish there was more transparency in the process. Obviously, district leadership, as in the aggregate, decided they wanted to defend against this. And I really, even if I thought that way, I wouldn't be likely to want to undercut our legal position with any comments. And so maybe after it's all done, we can talk about that. But I'm not in a comfortable place there. I wish there had been more transparency, and I'm not talking about the legal issue.
All right. Caller Steve has been waiting on our Buckmaster Show live line. He would like to talk with you, Dr. Stegman. Go ahead, Steve.
Sure.
Go ahead, Steve. Steve, you're up. Let's see. Do we have Steve? Are you there? No. Don't ask Steve, but we do have Linda Valdez. Linda, you are up next. Go ahead.
Okay. While you're talking to Mark about the lack of transparency and the whole process really does little to inspire public confidence in what the district is doing here, and added to the fact that only 100 people showed up for a public forum to meet the person who's going to lead the district. I mean, how do you get people to have confidence in the district, to care about the district, to get involved in what's going on down there? Because right now, just about anybody I talk to, you say TUSD, and they say basket case.
I agree. We have a serious problem of public confidence right now, and I think it's partly because of the budget cuts, partly because of the school closures process, partly lingering concerns from the the Mexican American studies blow up, and I think this superintendent choice. And then, of course, there's all the usual issues with TUSD. So we have a very serious problem with public confidence. There are good things going on in the district. There are things that need fixing, but the public confidence problem and the staff confidence. There's a real serious problem of staff confidence. We lost quite a few principals this year, and some of them were people that I don't think wanted to lose. So I'm very concerned about that, and I hope that we can get through this superintendent problem, which the process and the concerns about the process, and somehow in the end draw a line under it and move on and talk about what's good in the district and what needs fixing and what we're doing about it. But I agree. I think we have a serious confidence problem, and the superintendent search has, I think, the way that played out, played into that. Now, the timing of Dr. Pettico's announcement contributed to that, because then we were stuck with doing a search in the summer. A lot of people aren't here in the summer. We were stuck with doing a search that's much faster than you would normally do it, not at the normal time of year. And so that timing was beyond the board's control. But I think that the number of people that we invited was, to some extent, in our control, and that was unfortunate.
Steve has called back. Let's see if we can get him on the air. Steve, are you there?
Yes. As a parent of a child in District 1, and I also graduated from Swirl in 1980, which is District 1, I was wondering, the new superintendent, I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, that his wife is a principal in a school in that state where he is right now?
In his own district. She is a principal in his district.
Right. So if that's true and he moves here, is she going to stay there, which leaves the open door that he'll look for a better job back there when it comes along? Or is she going to leave her job and move to Tucson with him?
I think what he indicated during the public forum was that she would come out here and stay at home and take care of their young children for at least a couple years. So I think he indicated that she would come out with him.
Okay. We have more questions for Dr. Mark Stegman. 790-2040, we will take a break right here. It's our Friday Focus interview. Linda Valdez is here from The Republic, Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com. I'm Bill Buckmaster with Dr. Mark Stegman on the live line. We will be right back.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're?
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're?
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Well, 22 now on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Mark Stegman, TUSD Governing Board member who is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line with me in studio, Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com. Linda Valdez is here from the Arizona Republic. And I want to ask you, Dr. Stegman, you are a specialist at the University of Arizona. You teach economics, specifically something called game theory. Our friend David Safir of Blog for Arizona was on the program this week and then wrote on his column in Blog for Arizona about game theory. Are you learning anything that could be applied with what's going on right now at TUSD?
Well, I read that blog post, which was not flattering to me, I guess we could safely say, but I would rather discuss, well, of course, game theory applies to everything. So, of course, any negotiation situation, any strategic situation is something game theory speaks to. But when it comes to TUSD, I like to keep the conversation focused on policy issues and things that directly have to do with schools and kids and what we can do to make that better. And I think there's a somewhat excessive tendency to focus on personalities and turf and power and who's up and who's down. And I don't think that spending time on those adult issues really helps the schools very much. So I try to stay away from that.
All right. Here's Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic.
Dr. Stegman, were there any internal applicants for the superintendent's job?
That I definitely can't answer.
Why can't you answer that? That doesn't identify anybody.
Because all the information that we know about the applicants was divulged to us in executive session. And so I think anything that I say that would lead people, help people to make inferences about who the applicants were, is somewhere I don't want to go. Getting back to the legal issue, I can't speak to, and this is related to that, I'm not qualified to speak to legal issues. I'm not a lawyer. I know what I know and I know what I don't know. I think from a policy viewpoint, there is value to protecting candidates' confidentiality up to very late in the process because other people won't apply. And I think that in principle, that's worth defending. Whether it's legally worth defending is something...
Right. Well, that doesn't really speak to whether you had internal applicants or not.
No,
that
no,
doesn't
no,
identify
no,
anybody. But just real quickly, let me follow
no,
up
no,
on...
I really, I think I wouldn't be comfortable answering that. I think.
Don't answer it. Let me follow up with something else. I wanted to follow up with the caller Steve's question about the new superintendent's wife being a principal. Was any kind of promise made to put her in one of the principalship jobs here at TUSD?
Oh, absolutely not. And I, as far as I know, the expectation is she would not have a job in TUSD.
And is there any kind of mechanism to prevent that from happening, given that
in
a number
of... In the negotiations.
Right, right.
Since
given
he's
that,
in a negotiating situation. Right.
And, I mean, principals lost their jobs this year because schools closed. So I think that would be a real concern for some folks.
Well, the board would have to approve any principal appointment, and I certainly wouldn't approve putting her into a principalship. And I have no reason to think that that would be proposed or that the board would approve it.
Okay.
I don't think that's an issue.
Here's Mark Evans now of TucsonCitizen.com.
What happens if he backs out? I know Superintendent Petticone has said that he would stay for a little while if necessary. Is that a contingency that's being considered?
I don't think the board has discussed that much. The last thing that we did was choose him as the superintendent, and that would be a very complex discussion, I think, and I don't want to get out in front of the board, but it obviously it would open everything back up, I think.
Well, you're a board member. You have your own vote. What would you want to do?
What I wanted to do, and you know I voted against this appointment, I think I would have preferred to bring out one or two more people. Especially given that there wasn't a tremendous consensus around this candidate after he came out. That would have been my preference as of last Tuesday.
And if he backs out, that would still be your preference?
Well, I think it might be a reasonable thing to do, but I think I'd rather, you know, that's a new situation, and I really don't want to get in front of the board discussion. I felt that there were strong options. I've said that before. But I don't really want to get out in front of the board on that. I think I'll just stick with what I said before, which is that I thought we should have brought more people out.
And going back to your point that you believe that there's merit in the district's argument that there could be some sort of chilling effect on applicants if they found out that if their current employers were to be told that they had been applied for this job. That was something that was considered by the Supreme Court and decided that when you become a finalist, then you lose those protections if you're not considered. So the 50-some people who didn't make that number, that cut of four people, yeah, okay, they get those privacy considerations, but the four finalists that you interviewed don't. And don't you think that the public has as much right to know who you didn't hire so that they can evaluate the quality of the candidate you did hire properly?
Practically, honestly, I think there's a trade-off there. I think that you ought to bring out more than one and put more than one up for inspection. As a policy question, whether all four of those should have come forward, given the fact that that was not perhaps what we led them to believe, I don't like to be inconsistent and sort of create an expectation that then isn't executed on in this instance. So the general principle, it's a tricky trade-off. I mean, at some point you have to cut off the transparency and put it open to the public. And exactly where that point is, I'm not honestly quite sure where it is. It's a practical question. As the legal question, again, I'm just not qualified to say. So I guess I am a little ambiguous about that. I'd have to think about if I were designing the optimal system and where does that confidentiality right end. I'm not sure. But I think in my ideal system, it would probably end before there was one candidate. And to that extent, I think I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. But the Supreme Court has already decided for you. They've already done that deliberation.
Yeah,
for
like I said, I don't want to get into the legal issue because I'm not qualified.
All right.
But leaving that as a practical question, in my, if I got to choose a system, yes, I think we should have the public aware of more than one candidate.
All
I would agree.
Okay. So where do we go from here? I've only got a few seconds left. Negotiating time. How was this left with Mr. Sanchez, that the board would contact him soon or what?
Well, obviously soon. I don't know what the exact timetable is. I think that's probably something that's being worked out with the board president and him and the search firm. But obviously those discussions will be happening very soon.
Okay. Dr. Mark Stegeman, thank you for spending a half an hour with us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. I hope I was at least a little bit informative. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Mark Stegeman talking about the situation with the perhaps the new superintendent of TUSD. We've got our Friday Reporters Roundtable coming up right after the break.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama has named James Comey to be the new FBI director. Comey was the number two Justice Department official under President George W. Bush. An agreement to vastly increase fencing, patrols, and high-tech monitoring along the U.S.-Mexico border has been formally unveiled in the Senate. It's aimed at building support for a White House-backed immigration reform bill. Police in Greenville, North Carolina, say a man with a shotgun wounded one person outside a law firm before crossing a busy street, entering a Walmart, shooting three more people before officers subdued him. The conditions and the identities of the shooting victims have not been released. On Wall Street, stocks have been mixed throughout the day. Right now, the Dow is up about 97 points, while the Nasdaq is trading 3 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hi, this is Ed Alexander at the Eegee's at Valencia, just east of Country Club. We'll be here till 1 o'clock this afternoon with the Wheel of Prizes. And all this month, all 23 area Eegee's are offering the annual coupon card, where for $7, you'll get $72 in savings for the year ahead. Eegee's is famous for their refreshing fruit-flavored ices, hearty grinders and sandwiches and salads and fries, whether you like them regular, chili, cheese, those pizza fries. And you know you could use an ice-cold Eegee's right now. When you purchase a $7 coupon card, that money will go to the P.O. Decimo Center for families and children and youth on their home, helping homeless kids stay in school. In fact, we have some folks in P.O. Decimo Center and youth on their own right here with us today. So stop by, look for us, here on Valencia, just east of Country Club, and next week on Oracle, just south of Orange Grove. And remember, you can get that coupon card this month at any of the 23 EG's locations here in Southern Arizona. We'll be here till 1 o'clock at EG's. Make mine an EG's.
Welcome back to our Friday roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, and it's time for our local journalists who are contributors to this program, and we thank them for being so. Linda Valdez is here, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic, and Mark Evans, administrator of the TucsonCitizen.com website, which is a community of bloggers of which we are proud as the Buckmaster Show to be one of the contributors. If you have a comment or question for us, the Buckmaster Show live line is open 790-2040. If you would like to weigh in on the situation with the new TUSD superintendent, and that is where we're going to pick up here with the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Linda and Mark. I want to say right off the bat that yesterday we were speaking with Dr. Robert Hendricks, who is our contributor on education here on this program, and he has been in the education business for many, many years, has conducted many of these searches. And Linda and Mark, he says, for this to happen, for a district, second largest district in the state of Arizona, to have just one finalist is so unusual. I mean, we're talking highly unusual for this to happen.
I'll believe him that it's highly unusual. It's just outrageous from my point of view that you would do that. That even if, as they say, this individual was head and shoulders above the others, well, bring the others in and let us see for ourselves. It's just terrible form. It reinforces everyone's bad image of the district. And I think it gets him off on a bad foot as well. Because
I think so, too. Yeah, I really do.
It really does.
It's horribly arrogant of the board to say that you have to trust us. We looked at all these people. We brought in four people, and we decided this is really the only one who can run our district. And the public does not who runs the district, who elects the board, whose parents, you know, whose children go to those schools, don't get to say, well, who else was there? Who came in second? Let's see what their qualifications are, so I can determine why you thought this guy was so great. I think it reflects the rookie nature of the board. You got three brand new people that were just elected 6 months ago. They don't have any previous elected experience. They don't really have any experience of the politics of these types of issues. I don't know where they got their advice, or they decided to do this on their own, since they're cloaking everything under the executive session and saying we can't talk. I think they've made a bad decision, and they need to make a good decision considering all the headwinds, the negative headwinds that the district faces. All the bad feelings people have about the district, as Linda said earlier, that view the district as a basket case.
What do you think the chances, Mark, of this gentleman actually coming to Tucson?
I think we talk about that off the air, and I agree with you. I think it's 50-50. I think I didn't know about his wife also being a principal there.
No,
I mean, that's
had not heard that either.
That's a huge decision that family would have to make to come here and then have her try to get a job here and move small children. And as Dr. Stegman, who's the game theory expert, maybe he's playing a game. He already did it once in El Paso. He was a finalist in El Paso, and he backed out of that job.
Well, I know Cam Juarez, one of the board members, had Facebooked me and said that he would love to have a few minutes on the program, and I had offered it to him this week. I said we'd be talking about this during three segments of our show. And so, Cam, if you're listening, 790-2040, we'd love to hear your opinion. I'm just putting that out there because this is the opportunity to do it. Linda, I as Mark says, I did say off the air, I think the chances are 50-50 that Mr. Sanchez will negotiate a contract in Odessa and stay there.
Oh, I think there are so many unknowns, but I mean, certainly Tucson's a lot nicer place to live in than Odessa.
And I have not been there. Mark says it's really not a great place.
If I had the choice of moving to Tucson from Odessa, I would flee. I would run as fast as I could.
Well, Texas versus Arizona, hey, you're going to get better Mexican food here for sure.
Well, now you're picking a fight.
But I don't... Whether he's playing a game and trying to negotiate a higher salary where he is, that's entirely possible. And I'm very suspicious about what promises might have been made about whether his wife is going to get a principalship here when she comes here, which could sweeten the pot as well. It's also unseemly for the district to be behaving this way. I really sincerely hope it turns out well, because TUSD needs some good news. But they're setting themselves up for failure. And whether he comes or whether he doesn't come, they seem to have set themselves up for failure in this situation.
Go ahead, Mark.
And Dr. Stegman's concerns that led to his no vote are all well taken. Sanchez has never run a district of any size. He's only been the superintendent of the current district that he's in as interim for 3 months. Now, there's a lot of experience that you could get being an assistant superintendent and being an administrator, but nevertheless, this is the second largest district in Arizona, and it is the one that has the most problems with its administration. There's just, with the desegregation order and the ethnic studies battles, the white flight, the declining enrollment, the budget crises, the closing schools. I mean, the list is endless, and you want someone who's maybe has experience in dealing with crises like that, and Sanchez doesn't. And we don't know whether there was anybody else on the list who had those types of experiences, because they're keeping it secret from us.
You also want someone who can hit the ground running, and he said he's going to spend his first 6 months listening. Well, you know, that's okay. You're going to hear a lot, but the district needs action in the first 6 months, not a listening post.
All right, I want to move on to a very big week up at the state legislature. We really haven't talked much about kind of deconstructing the session. I will say that Linda Valdez and your colleagues at the Arizona Republic, in an editorial reviewing the legislative session, pretty much gave good grades, all A's, and don't think I saw any C's, A's and B's for all the major issues. There was a lot of talk at the beginning of the week as the governor signed the Medicaid expansion of everybody getting together, the nonpartisanship. We saw the picture opportunity behind the governor where Republicans and Democrats. And then it sort of fell apart a little bit yesterday.
Well, kumbaya didn't last long, did it?
No.
It did fall apart very fast.
Yeah.
With Steve Gallardo claiming that the governor's aides had made promises about vetoing the election bill. It's really hard to judge whether that happened or not, but it's unfortunate. He's basically said that negates all the goodwill from Medicaid expansion, which is, I think, a disproportionate a reaction if she did make such a promise, which I rather doubt. But the idea that that Arizona legislators would work together in a bipartisan way on the long term was nice, but it really didn't last long.
As far as
Steve Gallardo it goes, I mean, I think it's great that we have somebody up there that's really the Democrats that are trying to push buttons and make challenges, but you have to have some credibility behind the things that you're challenging. And this argument that he picked with the governor over this issue, unfortunately, I think he came out looking a little bit petulant.
Yeah, and his quote exactly is, "The signing of this bill definitely ruins any spirit of bipartisanship."
You know, it was, to me, for inside baseball type stuff, it was interesting because I thought that the Democrats played a masterful game, because here, for the governor, in order to get this passed, she was going to need every single Democrat and a few Republicans. And the Democrats could have played hardball with her. They could have said, okay, well, if you want our votes on this, then you've got to give us something else. You've got to veto this type of bill or that type of bill. And for the most part, from what I understand, is they didn't do that. They didn't try to force the Republicans that they needed to come over into a bad corner where these types of
they didn't cut any deals, based, you're saying,
right.
In effect.
And so what this indicates is that perhaps, at least from Representative Gallardo's perspective, there was a deal that was cut. Now, it's interesting, all of these elections bills were all separate, and they all didn't make it. They didn't get anywhere. They failed. They either passed the House and failed in the Senate, or passed the Senate, failed in the House. And then you had at the last minute where all these hurt feelings were happening with the Medicaid expansion vote. They crammed them all into this kind of omnibus bill. Mm-hmm. And then they tried to get it passed, and it failed in the Senate. And then you had an amount of arm twisting that went on, and three senators who were key to the Medicaid vote flipped their votes: Senator Pierce, Senator McComish, and Senator Crandall. And so then it passed. And I think that is where you had some of the hard feelings that came about, because these bills had their chance and didn't make it. And now at the last minute, they got crammed through. And there was obviously some intrigue that was going on. So I think all on the whole, that aside, the governor did very well. She had four main things that she wanted in her State of the Union. State of the state. She wanted more money for CPS. She got that. She wanted the Medicaid expansion. She got that. She wanted the reform of the state sales tax law. She got that. And she wanted to create some screwy pay-for-performance plan for schools, and she didn't get that, which good that she didn't. Hmm.
Cut Brewer some slack is the editorial in today's Arizona Republic.
Yes, it is. And that addresses the Steve mm-hmm. Gallardo issue and really makes the point that he's making something of a mountain out of this. And I think the basic, we don't know whether a deal was made or not. And it doesn't, Katie Hobbs was at one of the meetings where he said that the deal was made, and she said she didn't get that sense. I think maybe something ambiguous was said. But I think on the whole, people should cut Brewer some slack on this one. I've never been a big fan of the governor. I've never made a secret about that. But she played a masterful game with the Medicaid expansion. It's good for Arizona. It's going to be good for Arizona for a long time. It's not done. There's still a lot of other moves to be
made.
She set her sights on this, and she accomplished it. And she played hardball with her own constituency. She played hardball with the conservative Republicans, and she was willing to do that. I think she deserves a lot of credit for it.
It may be Pyrrhic victory for her, though, because she has set her own party on fire. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of hard feelings amongst Republicans with themselves
Definitely.
Over this. And it's going to be a really tough time for the Republicans who voted for this next year in their primary races. It's going to affect fundraising. It's going to have the repercussions of this within our own party are going to echo all through next year and perhaps even farther. And
then which is a really good reason to give her credit for doing this,
right?
Because she did rise above politics and do what was best for the state. And that's something you really don't see very often among politicians.
Well, former state Senator Frank Antonori, he does not like the Medicaid expansion. He's spearheading a referendum on trying to let the voters decide whether the Medicaid expansion is right for Arizona, and he will need, I think it's about 86,000 signatures, valid signatures, before around Labor Day, early September. We had State Senator Steve Farley on the show earlier this week, and I believe Senator Farley said that it would be very difficult. He believes it will be difficult to raise. It doesn't seem like a lot, 86,000.
Well, you're going to have some deadwood.
Yeah, but that's
there.
What
so
he said. You didn't need about
150,000.
Yeah,
so.
And that. I forget what he said, Farley, about how many you would need every day.
Lori Roberts did the math on it. She thinks they need 1,400 a day.
Yeah, 1,400 a day.
With just volunteers out in the summer sun, that's a lot of signatures you'd have to get.
Unless they get some big bucks coming in from outside the state to help them out, which is a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, when you've got the entire business community of the state supporting the Medicaid expansion, you're not going to get any money from in the state.
No,
for it.
You won't get any money from in state, but you might get some money from out of state because it would become a referendum on Obamacare.
Obamacare, right. Yeah.
And does this hold up the Medicaid expansion bill?
If they get it on the ballot,
if
it holds
it goes
up. It can't go into effect until to 2014. The greater threat to the Medicaid expansion is the probable Goldwater Institute suit against whether it should have been a two-thirds vote because it was a tax increase.
Right.
And I think that is a very legitimate threat. As my opinion is, it was a tax increase. They needed a two-thirds vote. They didn't get a two-thirds vote, and it's going to fail in the courts.
So there are two threats, then. There's the referendum threat to this, two threats to the Medicaid expansion, and the Goldwater Institute is now considering whether to bring a suit.
Well, yes, they are. I mean, as I understand it, they're going to wait and see what happens with the referendum, but you can bet that they will bring suit if the referendum fails. And they're on record as saying they're going to help support the referendum if it in any kind of court battle about whether or not this can indeed be referred, because there's a question about that.
And the budget,
right, it's a question of whether it's a bill of appropriation which cannot be referred to the ballot.
But it is a budget. It's part of a budget item, and this could really throw the whole budget off, right?
There would probably have to be a special session to deal with the cost of Medicaid that's not being covered by this new change in the law.
Getting back to the new voting law, you're writing a column about it. You like it, actually? The
election? Not necessarily that I like it. I think that
what do you like? What's positive about it?
There's like four or five things that are in it. A couple of them are lame.
Real quickly.
So one is, if you are on the permanent early voting list and you haven't voted in several elections, you're going to get a postcard that says, do you still want to be on this list? And if you don't respond, you get tossed off. Now, your voter registration is not removed. You still get the vote in elections, and you can still get an early ballot. You're just no longer on the early voting list. And also, if you have an early ballot and you haven't turned it in, if someone comes to your house to pick it up, now you have to sign this affidavit that says that you've allowed this person to do it, so you don't have, you know, these strangers that wander in on election day with thousands of ballots that they went out into the community and picked up.
Okay.
There's any number of changes. I think on balance, they're all in response to problems we've had with our election system the last couple of years. I think they're fair. I don't think they're voter suppression as they've been alleged.
Okay, you can read all about it. I'm Mark Evans at TucsonCitizen.com. Linda Valdez, we will look for your upcoming editorials. Do you have anything in this Sunday's paper?
I do, as a matter of fact. It's a column that talks about an attempt to undermine Arizona's protections for farm animals.
Oh, okay. We will look for it. Thank you, Linda. Have a great weekend, both Linda and Mark.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rebel. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Weston La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at WestonLaPalomaResort.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Oh, and when we hear that music, it means one thing. The Weeknd, it has been officially declared here in Tucson. It's Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And here's the big thing, 15 degrees cooler. So much to do in Silver City, including the upcoming Hummingbird Festival, July 19th through the 21st. Great places to stay, including Faywood Hot Springs, Georgetown Cabins, and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. You can find out more about Silver City in Grant County at southwestnewmexico.org. And now we welcome Weekend Watch host Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, and generally all-around nice guy. And he's all ready for this first day of summer. Happy summer, Matt.
To you, too. You know what a coincidence. I'm just oiling up the gears for the old blender. I think the weekend should get started forthwith, sir.
I think I know what's going to be going in that blender, some adult beverages that will cool things off. How about this Cinco de Summer event that I'm hearing about?
Yeah, one of my favorite things about Summer, Bill, every year is the delicious series of specials that are part of El Charo's Cinco de Summer menu, and today I think would be the perfect day to take advantage of it. The special menu at all El Charo locations features 7 selections that are only $5 each. We're talking spinach and avocado tostadas and grilled chicken and mushroom enchiladas, even what they're calling the summer's best Sonoran dog for only $5. And when you wash it all down with a $5 watermelon margarita, say hello to the weekend. Cinco de Summer today and all summer long at El Charo.
Very appropriate place to welcome that first day of summer. You know, this food truck business has really exploded, hasn't it, in Tucson?
Sure, it sure has. I think I've lost count on how many food trucks have hit the Tucson streets in the last few months, and a new one is rolling out this weekend looking for fans of Asian cuisine. They call it the Lucky Girl Food Truck. It's going to be parked over at McCormick Park on Saturday from 5 to 7, serving up something called a Lucky Bun, which is their kind of unique twist on a Vietnamese banh mi sandwich with ground beef and ginger aioli and pickled carrots. Really sounds delicious. This is all about summertime fresh, so get over there and grab one or two tomorrow. Now, Bill, I'm keep waiting for the weekend watch food truck to hit the streets. What is the Buckmaster Truckmaster going to hit the road?
I don't know. We're still working on putting a new set of tires on it, I think. what's Tucson Originals doing with their summer special this weekend?
Yeah, all the great members of the Tucson Originals serving up great deals for only $20.13. My pick this week is Guinea's French Cafe on Prince and Campbell. Two orders of their delicious eggs Provençal with two mimosas for only $20.13. A great breakfast at a great price, Bill, all summer long.
Have a great weekend, Matt. Thanks.
Cheers, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. We love Culligan water. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, Team Buckmaster, the lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, our newest team member, broadcast sales representative, Bob Richardson, and summer intern, Evan, who has been doing a wonderful job learning the audio board today. Nice job, Evan. Nice to have you with us here for the summer. John C. Scott comes up this afternoon, 3 to 5, and then Monday morning, Chris and Joe with Wake Up Tucson. Phil Cedar starts things off with the expert talk tomorrow at 7 o'clock. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.